So thankful for church. I'm so thankful for the local church. Glory to God. You know, the local church is someplace that you can go locally. Can you bring me down just a hair? Seem to be real loud to myself up here. Chase me out. We don't want to do that, amen, at least till it's over. Glory to God. But I'm so thankful for the local church. I'm so thankful that it's local. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go far to get to it. Just think about how good God is, that He gives us a place that we can come together right here in our own backyards, amen. A place that we don't have to drive far, that we don't have to toil to get to. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to travel miles on foot. We don't have to go through jungles with the fear of being eaten by lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, glory to God. But we got, a nice safe place right across from a beautiful lake and a park and all those things, and we get to come together here and receive all that God has for us in relative ease, amen. And it should be ease, praise the Lord. Glory to God, because God's given us so much ease to get to. Amen. He's made it easy, and I'm just so thankful. You know, my wife was talking about correction. You know, and correction is true, but you know, it dawned on me as she, not because of what she was saying or the way she was saying it, but we so often, you know, we think about the correction of God as being a disheartening thing or a sad thing, you know, but we have to remember that God is a corrective God. He's a right, a good God, amen, but He's also a just God, and therefore He's a God of mercy, amen. And so when God corrects us, I found so often that people are waiting for the correction of the Lord to be something severe and harsh. You know, the correction of the Lord comes according to the crime. Amen. If there, you know what I mean? Like if there needs to be correction, but you just didn't know, God isn't going to beat you up for it. You know what I mean? He isn't going to come down on you. And you know, we know that comes from the devil. We know that that's not God isn't desiring to just whoop us or to hurt us. Amen. You know, people would think it's unreasonable for someone to, you know, have a child to spill a little milk or something like that and to beat the child. Yet so many people think of God that way. They think that God is going to just beat them. But a lot of times the correction just comes in ways of things that we didn't know. Amen. In ways that we didn't know, or maybe something that we haven't been focusing on, and God wants to remind us of. Now, don't get me wrong. If we're resistant to that, if we reject the correction of God, if we reject the truth of what God's doing, then it can, you know, then there could be a harsher consequence to that. But how many know that God's first desire isn't to whoop you? You know, when you come home from work, you know, the first thing you think is that you want to beat your children, right? I mean, not unless there's something wrong with you. Glory to God. Well, God isn't doing that too. When we come together, you know, the local church has been given to us as a blessing. Our pastors have been given to us as a blessing to help us. And so we have to stop looking at God from that standpoint. Amen. Glory to God. And it was so good to me that God is a God of mercy. And He reminds me of that all the time. You know, there's so many times, more often than not, that I stand in a place where I need the mercy of God, and I'm so thankful that I get to live in the mercy of God. Amen. And with the mercy of God, of course, is the goodness of God. And so, you know, one of the things that you don't have to go seeking for, you don't have to make happen, is the goodness of God, because God's just good. Yes. I said, God's just good. You ain't got to go looking for the goodness of God. You know, a lot of people are after that. They're trying to, how do I make my life better? And essentially what they're doing is they're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to make my life better. The thing is if you connect to the God life, praise the Lord, then the goodness of God comes. It's not something you have to chase after. It's not something that you have to, the Bible says, in fact, that it'll chase after you.
Yes.
I said, it'll chase after you, glory. Well, I don't know about you, but that makes me happy.
Yes.
And it makes me happy because I walk it out in my life too. That doesn't mean every day is perfect, every day is good, but as we follow after God, as we seek after God, we find more and more that His goodness was there all along. In fact, the more that I learn about God, the more that I learn this, that the things were areas where I thought the goodness of God wasn't, it's just because I was distracted by something else looking in the wrong direction. Amen. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of bad things out there. Amen. There's a lot of things out there in life that'll pull at you, and they'll compete for your attention. They'll try to get your attention. They'll try to get you focused in the wrong area. But if we focus in the right area, and see, the only thing that God told us to do, He didn't say, come looking for my goodness. He said, just look for me.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll show us His goodness. He said, just look for me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but that really makes me happy. Amen. I mean, what I said a few minutes ago made me happy, but now this makes me really happy. Glory to God. Why? Because it's just the truth of God. Amen. You know, there's been, never been a problem that that God can't solve. There's no issues that I've seen in life that God can't get us through, can't get us over. And there's no answer or no question that goes unanswered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all free, no charge. Glory to God. It's not what I'm preaching about tonight, but it is good. Amen. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for what God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called A Piece of Faith. Hallelujah. And it's not spelled wrong. It was, you know, I like to do like that, you know, praise the Lord. And but, you know, this, it was interesting as my wife was ministering on Sunday. She was ministering about rest, and it was really wonderful. Praise the Lord. I was helped. I was blessed. Glory to God. But as she was ministering on rest, you know, she made mention. I don't know if she went to these. I can't remember now if she went to the scriptures. And it's not because I don't pay attention. I don't even remember the scriptures I used last week. So it has nothing to do with her. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, as she ministered on this and she talked about Jesus it being in the boat of the. Did you go to those scriptures? Yes. Those scriptures, amen. That's just what I said. I remember that, amen. And she went to those scriptures, and as she did, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and showed me something that I'd never seen before. I like that when God does that. You know, it could be one thing that God speaks to you, but that one thing will be life-changing, amen. And that one thing, I believe, is life-changing, and that's what the basis of this message is. So if you'll forgive me, we are going to go to some of those scriptures, but I'm just going to do a little bit better. Praise God. There's my penny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heads up, too. So that's, well, I dropped it. What does that mean? It's a sign. And now it's heads, tails down. Tails up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And if you're watching online and you wonder what that's all about, well, you just needed to be here. Sorry, we're not even going to tell you later. So even if you ask, you just don't get that knowledge. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll teach you to not be in church on Tuesday night. Glory to God. And you thought that nice weather was worth staying home, and there you go. A piece of faith. Glory to God. You know, actually, there are several things the Lord spoke to me. Another thing that I heard in my spirit as I sat there on Sunday was that the renewed mind is a great ally, but the unrenewed mind is your worst enemy. Now, I've struggled with this a little bit, and that's because I guess unrenewed isn't really a word. Or at least the you know, the autocorrect or whatever sees it as a false word. I don't know. Maybe that's just something. But I like saying it anyway, so I'm going to continue to say it. I also usually like to make all my letters cap, or all my first letters capital in titles, even though you're not supposed to do that. Praise the Lord. And so, well, that's, never mind. That's free, no charge. Glory to God. We just do things our way here in Mayville. Amen. It's Burger King out here in Mayville. The unrenewed mind is your worst enemy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Worst enemy is not the devil. What did Jesus say would set us free? The truth. Thank you. The truth will set us free. He didn't say the power of God. He didn't say angels. He didn't say, you know, the Holy Spirit. He said the truth would set us free. Amen. Knowledge of the truth. And so that's an important statement. That's something that we should. Now, all those other things work together. You understand. I'm not saying that they're completely, you know, not important or anything like that. But Jesus said it was the truth. It was abiding in the truth that would set us free. And what is abiding in the truth? Essentially, that is a renewed mind. That is a place of being renewed. But we have to understand what a renewed mind is. Just hearing the word is not renewing the mind. You can hear the word and not renew your mind. A renewed mind is just what it says, a renew. It's made new. Glory to God. And so when you have a renewed mind, that means your mind has been made new. Made new. That means it's made different than what it was. Amen. Than what it was before. Something that isn't, you know, if you go to the store and buy something brand new, you don't have to refurbish it. If you go down to the Ford dealership and you buy a brand new Ford Bronco, have you seen those? Those are really cool. Praise the Lord. I've actually considered one. Hallelujah. They do all the same things as a Jeep does, just in Bronco form. Amen. But it's cool nonetheless. But if you go down there to the Ford dealership and you look at a Ford Bronco, how many know you don't have to restore it? If it's brand new, you just drive it off the lot and everything should work right. Amen. In fact, they have a thing they call a warranty. And why do they put a warranty on? Because they're pretty sure that you don't fix it soon. Yeah. So they'll give you a warranty. They'll say, actually, what they do is they give you a warranty how long they figure the vehicle will surely be good for. Yeah. That's what a warranty. You know, the warranty isn't, the warranty is to draw you in, but it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them selling you a vehicle. Amen. They say, now they want to sell you an extended warranty. Why? Because they'll say, well, for a lot of money, we'll give you an extended warranty, and a vehicle that should last you longer anyways will last you at least this long, or we'll fix it. Amen. And so that's what they're doing by all that. I guess it's a little bit of a gamble, but they figured out how to make money doing it. Praise the Lord. But the point that I'm trying to make is you don't have to renew it. You don't have to make it new because it's already new. And so our minds are the same way. You know, a renewed mind is a great ally. A renewed mind, there's nothing been in life that I've found so far that my renewed mind hasn't helped me with. But the places where my mind has been not renewed or not refreshed even sometimes can be a problem. It's the worst enemy. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And so God has given us the ability to have a renewed mind. That's why he's given us his word. That's why he's given us church. That's why he's given us pastors and ministers of the gospel. Praise the Lord, to teach us and to keep us going, to keep us renewing our minds, you know. I often love the example of my pastor when he was, when he was ministering, or he was out in California, and he was for Pastor Nancy Dufresne. She had asked him to minister on the Tuesday night service. And he said, you know, she was going to be there, and he wanted to just say, you know, I would just, you know, I don't have anything. You got it. I'd just rather listen to you. And she said something that really blessed me. She said, Pastor, she's like, I got to hear the word too. I got to have my mind renewed too. Not exactly how she said it, but basically, so the idea was that she understood that. And so we have to understand that. It's not just a you thing, it's an all of us thing. It's a Christian thing, amen? That's why we've been given the word for a renewed mind, amen? Praise the Lord, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, as I look at the pastoral office, it's so much bigger than I am. And you might not understand that as I say it to you, but I deal with me every day. You know, I'm just like you are. Praise the Lord. I put on, I put on my pants the same way if you wear pants. Glory to God. Well, you know, somewhat the same way. Amen. We're going from the top down, right? Most everybody.
Yeah.
Right? You got to do that. Praise the Lord. Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate you most. Hallelujah. But we... But as a pastor, I'm always so aware of the pastoral office, and I'm so thankful for it. The reason I say that is because I see it work despite me so often. You know, despite who I am, I see the anointing of God, and so I'm thankful for those things, realizing that it's much bigger than I am, that I'm just a vessel. Amen. But all of us are just vessels in some form. We're all just vessels for the Lord. Should be used for. Every time I talk about vessels, I think about a message my wife preached about being vessels for fit for the master's use. I can't remember. Was that what you called it? I don't know if it, yeah, probably. She don't even remember it. But I do pay attention to some things. Amen. Glory to God. And she was using, you know, the scriptures that talk about being a vessel that can, the choice of being a vessel that can be used versus a vessel that isn't used. Amen. Glory to God and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. God is good. But being renewed is very important. So we're going to renew our minds tonight according to the word, and we're going to be talking about peace. Amen. I'm going to pull up John 3:34 in the Amplified. Glory to God. I love this scripture. And the reason I pulled up in the Amplified is because it said pretty much what I thought it was saying in the regular version, just a little bit more, just Amplified.
Yeah.
Amen. It says, for since he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus, proclaims God's own message. God does not give him his spirit sparingly or by measure, but boundless is the gift God makes of his spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For since he whom God sent. Now listen, he's talking about Jesus here. And so you might sit there and think, well, at first, well, this is talking about Jesus, so this only applies to Jesus. But it applies to more than that, because it connects the reason why Jesus was effective. It wasn't just because he was Jesus. We have to understand that Jesus wasn't effective at life just because he was Jesus, because he was the Son of God. He was effective because of how he lived. He was effective because of what he did. He was effective because of what he connected to. Amen? And we see this here, for since he whom God has sent speaks the words of God or proclaims God's own message, God does not give him his spirit. So let me just ask you, it would stand to reason, right, that if someone speaks the words that are God's message, that his spirit wouldn't be given with measure.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What are we saying here? It means that the Holy Spirit is endless. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He has so much to give. And if you're speaking the message that God has given, if you're delivering the message that God has given, then it's not just partial. Just because it's this minister or that minister, it doesn't matter who it is. In fact, we see this a lot, and I there's been a lot of times where I've heard in different camp meetings and stuff like that where the head minister will call on other ministers to preach. And a lot of times when they do, people disappointed, just to be honest with you. I've seen it happen, amen, that people are disappointed with the one who's preaching because they came to hear it so-and-so. But if the one who has been given the message is the one who is supposed, is the one who is also to give the message, amen, that's how I wanted to say it. The one who's been given the message is the one who's to give the message. And God isn't going to measure back the Spirit just because it is somebody who doesn't have as much experience. He's not gonna reel it back because it's somebody who doesn't know as much. Amen? Because if it's somebody who will yield to the Spirit and give the message that God has, the message can help us and can change us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so God, we see this, he doesn't give his Spirit, his Spirit isn't given by measure. It's not given by just a little bit. So when we have the Word of God, when we have the truth of God, the fruits of the Spirit, therefore, aren't given by measure either. We have full access no matter who we are. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do for a living or what kind of background you came from. We all have the same access to the things that God has given us. All of us do. But there is a choice in getting to that. There's a choice in receiving that. We have to know, we have to understand, we have to receive the Word. Praise the Lord. I was saying earlier that not every mind is renewed just because they hear the Word. And that's a really important thing for us to understand. Just sitting in church doesn't get us there. You know, I used to have this thought, well, if we could just get people into church, then they could get blessed. But that's not wholly true. Because if somebody comes into church and they won't receive the Word, they reject the Word, they resist the Word, they resist everything that's going on, they're not getting helped. And so we understand that the things of God are not given to us by measure. We have been given the Holy Spirit. The whole Holy Spirit has been placed on the inside of us. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you part of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you part of the truth. He will lead you into all truth. I'm going to give you the Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. So if God has given us the Spirit, and he leads us into all truth, glory to God, then we have access to everything that the fruits of the Spirit are. Now, of course, we know that the first few of the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy. But what's the third one? Peace. So the peace of God is not something that's given to us by measure. But it is something that can be measured. Amen? All the fruits are something that can be measured. You know, I love fruit or harvest season. I love harvest season so much because harvest season, I just always believe, shows us the example of what and who God is. Now, we know according to Romans 1 that the earth always speaks about God, and so or it always points to God, the creation, amen?
Yeah.
Not just the earth, you and I do as well. But I think, one day I was driving on this, one of the back roads going towards Westfield, between Sherman and Westfield. I remember I was driving, and it was, it must have been August or thereabouts, August or September, because the apples were out. And I remember seeing this apple tree, this lone apple tree that was on the side of the road. And it was not like in an orchard or anything, but it was just on the side of the road. And as I drove by that tree, I saw that it was full of apples. Now, this is a tree that nobody's going to pick apples off of. In fact, I saw a ton of apples laying on the ground. So this tree was producing fruit regardless of that anybody wanted it or anything, and it was just dropping it on the ground, and it was just going to lay there and rot. We understand what we can understand by this from creation is that is really who our God is. Abundance, you know, you think about water, and the water is the thing that every living thing needs, right?
Yes.
And water, look how much water is on the face of the earth. And we understand this, that just the water that's on the face of the earth is only a portion of all the water the earth contains.
Yeah.
The oceans only contain a portion of the water that is on this earth.
Yeah.
Do you realize that there are whole oceans underneath the crust of the earth that don't get access by anything? I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Amen. Of course, the scientists didn't know that until more recent years, but it's truth. This whole world is saturated with water. And so everything that God, we see another example there of everything that God gives, he doesn't give by measure, that the fruits of them are evident in creation. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And so if we're looking for God to give us something, we have to understand this. He gave us Jesus, which we're basically told that is everything. He is everything.
Yeah.
So we're given Jesus, and then to make it, which is one part of the Godhead.
Yeah.
It said we've been given Jesus.
Yeah, right.
We don't get to just partake of. We've been given Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And then Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, which is another. Is the second third of the Godhead, amen.
Yeah.
And so we've been given that His Spirit for the inside of us, amen. And through both of these, we gain access to the Father,
yeah.
Who is the third, amen.
Yeah.
Not in any particular order. So we have three thirds of God, the Creator of everything, Creator of you and me, the Creator of everything. We get to have experience, and we know that Creator is good, and so we have access to Him, full access, and it's not limited, amen?
Right.
It's not limited by Him, we should say.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But it can be limited by us. Hallelujah. God doesn't give His Spirit by measure. When we proclaim God's message, amen, when we proclaim the Word of God, which is God's message, we understand now, can God's message extend past the Word of God? Certainly it can, but the point is that's a good starting place, amen?
Yeah.
That's a good starting place for us. You're not going to know through the Word of God every decision that you should ever make, but I'm going to tell you right now, it sure helps,
yeah.
Amen? You have to be willing to submit to the Word of God before we can have access to the things that the Word provides. The fruit comes... The fruit of the Spirit comes as we have connected to the Word of God. That's the setting free. That's the setting free that we're after. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord. What I've noticed is whenever I've been in trial, whenever I've gone through any kind of trial or anything, the one thing that the Lord always brings me back to is His truth. And I always get to that place where it's like, well, this is what the Word says. He always reminds me of what His Word says. This is what the Word says, so this is what I have to do. And sometimes it's not what I want to do, but in doing what the Word says, I get the fruit that the Word gives.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's how I continue on. That's how I haven't quit. Because there's been many times I wanted to quit.
Sure.
There's been day after day after day I've wanted to quit.
Sure.
I spent much of 2020 wanting to quit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
What did I want? I just wanted to go do my own thing. I didn't want to deal with the things I needed to deal with. But see, that's one of the things about life is that we know that we're going to have to deal with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But we can choose to either deal or not deal,
right.
Praise the Lord. But if we're going to deal, we might as well deal right.
Because
if we deal right, then we deal effective.
Yeah.
If we deal effective, then we have the peace of God. We have the fullness of God. Amen? Glory to God. So I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for His Spirit. I'm so thankful for the things He gives us. Let's go turn together. Mark 4:35. It has been a long time since we've been in these scriptures. Praise the Lord. A long, long time. In fact, I am so glad that the Holy Spirit brought it up. Matthew, Mark 4. See, it's been so long. The pages are sticky. If you don't remember, we were there on Sunday. I didn't remember, but I'm sure you did. Amen. But it doesn't really matter because this is where the message comes from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mark 4:35, and on the same day when evening came, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I love when we see things like this in Scripture, because it always reminds me of this. Jesus was very sure of himself. Jesus didn't just look out there and say, hey, that's neat over there, let's go over there. He had purpose in being there, amen? Praise the Lord. So he knew that they were going to the other side. See, he knew something already. He was so sure of what he did because Jesus did not have the Spirit by measure. I said Jesus was so sure of what. My goal in life is to be so connected to God's Spirit that I'm sure of absolutely everything. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not there yet. I'm quite a ways from there, in fact. Amen. But the goal of every Christian should be to know just what God. Do you want to know why often we get into a place where we have a lack of peace or a lack of joy or a lack of the fruits of the Spirit? It's because we don't care enough to spend the time to know what God wants us to do. This could be on any given day, and this applies to all of us. There is no human that is exempt for this. So if you're getting corrected right now, I'm not just picking on you. I'm picking on all of us. This is the truth. The more that we desire to know God, the more he is going to show us. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near unto you. Amen. What does that mean? It means if you draw near to God, he will draw near unto you. If not, then that's a lie. And then we should start throwing it out. Amen. But if that's a lie, there's a lot of other things that are a lie too. God wants us close to him. He wants us in a close relationship. Why? Because God desires that we live in peace. Yes. God desires that we live in joy. God desires that we live in love. He desires that we have the fruits of the Spirit. Otherwise, the fruits of the Spirit would not be the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is one third of who he is. Yes. And actually, it's all who you, but you understand, like my point in saying that is that it's a major, the Spirit is representative of who God is. The Spirit is God in the earth. Amen. It's how God deals with us on the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus knew something. He knew that you were going to the other side. Praise the Lord. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. That last scripture and that first line is something I've been thinking about writing on my bedroom wall. My wife and I are redoing our bedroom, and that was something I didn't tell her yet. But I want to put it right up, like where I when I wake up and the spot I see on the wall. That's what I would like to. I need to start every day off with that thought. The storms, because you don't know when a storm obviously is coming. Generally, we don't. Anybody who's ever been, most people, I should say, that have ever been caught in a storm didn't realize they were going to be caught in the storm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But he was asleep. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I'm going to, I want to take this even one, I wasn't going to go all the way to verse 41, but let's do it. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And this is what I heard in my spirit on Sunday as we were discussing these scriptures. The peace that Jesus, the power in the that Jesus was speaking was not in his words. It came from inside him. The peace was on the inside of him. That power to stop the wind, to stop the waves, to cause the peace did not happen just because he spoke the words, but because he spoke words that came from his spirit. That peace resided in Jesus. And because that peace resided in Jesus, he could access that peace and use it for what he needed. See, this is the thing. God has given us these things. Why does God give us anything? He gives it to us because it's needful for us. Why did God send Jesus? Because it was needful. Why did Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? It was needful. Why does God give us what he gives us? Because it's needful. God didn't give us, you know, we so often we're running after something like peace in life. We're looking for peace. That's what everybody thinks they want, right? I can't imagine that you would talk to anybody and they say, oh, you know, everything, I want nothing. I don't want any peace in my life. I want just the opposite of peace. I want chaos in my life. Only dumb people say that. You know, or people on drugs or something like that. Like nobody's, everybody wants that peace in the life. Now, they try to find it in various ways, and they're not going to find it because most of the ways that people look for it, there's no peace in that. Peace is not found in your way. Peace is found in God's way. Jesus didn't live according to his own way. He lived according to God's way. He lived according to the Spirit, and according to the Spirit, he always found the fruits that the Spirit gives. You cannot have the fruit of, listen to what I'm about to say. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit if you will not do the things that the Spirit is directing you to do. You can't have it. The fruits of the Spirit cannot be found in the world. They can't be found in human emotion. They can't be found in the things of life, natural things. You aren't going to find God's peace out there in the world. You're not going to find it by having the right job. You're not going to find it by having the right amount of money. You're not going to find it by having the right amount of things. You're not going to find it in the things. The world, because God's peace doesn't exist in the world. God's peace starts right here. It exists with his Spirit. God's peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? I didn't even plan on talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but here we are, keep mentioning the fruits of the Spirit. Because this is really what it's all about. The fruits, remember, the fruit is the thing that is produced from the thing that is producing it. Right? Glory to God. Peace, God's peace, is only a fruit of his Spirit. Yeah. In fact, as far as I know, there's no other place in Scripture, or there's nothing in Scripture that tells us anything remotely otherwise. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Peace is found when we do the things that the Spirit is leading us to do. Yeah. Amen. Peace was not in his words. Peace came from the inside of him. One of the things that Christians struggle with, I myself have struggled with this, but one of the things that we struggle with is when we're going through things in life, when we're going through the trials of life or whatever we're going through, that we fail to recognize that the things that God is giving us are already within us. They're already with us. Everything emanates from God's Spirit. All things that are going to be produced in our life come from the inside out. It's a matter of receiving it, a matter of understanding it. Everything is. And this is, like I said, this is a hard concept to understand. But oftentimes, that the reason that we don't walk in them or enter into them is because there's something that is blocking them from happening or working. If we want the fruits of the Spirit, for example, we can't be doing things that inhibit the Spirit because then the fruit can't be produced. Right. And I've found a lot of times in my own life, and also as I've counseled people, that when we're dealing with something, oftentimes it's something that we don't, maybe it's something that we don't realize that we've done or something like this. And this isn't because God is keeping us back. It's not that God is withholding it from us. It's because we stopped the flow. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing if, if you have a, does anyone in their have a faucet in their house?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We all have water, running water. That's good. Amen. Glory to God. Most of us, most of the time, have running water in the house. Sometimes we haven't. One time I had to take a weekend off. We were going to go to special meetings, and I had to not because we had just that problem. The flow stopped. But, you know, there's always something that stops the flow. Well, you can't go to your sink and wish that you had water and call the plumbing guy, you know, start calling him corrupt names and stuff like that because you're not getting a flow of water into your drinking glass and you haven't turned on the faucet. Or, rather, you've turned it off. You turn it off, you're going to shut off the flow.
Right.
In fact, if you call the plumber and you call him up to come to your house and say, hey, I'm having this issue, I have no flow of water into my sink, into my drinking glass here, and they come to your house, they're going to say, well, you just need to turn it back on.
Yeah.
You need to stop stopping the flow,
yeah.
Right? But if you refuse, you're not going to get into the flow. The flow of God is very much the same thing in our lives. God is not stopping the flow of him into our lives. He is not resisting us.
Right.
God does not, if anything, he's saying, I have provided all this, but you have to trust, you have to connect, you have to decide to let the power flow.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. The same way if we have an outside spigot on our house, and we put a hose on it, and that hose will get to various places. But if that hose isn't connected, it's not going to take the water anywhere. It's going to go where it's at. Amen. The power of God, the things of God are accessible by all of us. The peace of God, the joy of God, these things are all accessible by us all at all times,
yeah,
regardless of what's going on in life. In fact, God gave us these things because of what would go on in life. God gave us these things because he knew turmoil was coming. God gave us these things because he knew opposition was coming. But do we hinder the flow? How do we hinder the flow? By not going back to the source. Amen? You know, when trial comes in life, it presents itself usually very loudly.
Sure.
Remember recently I said, and I was inspired by the Lord to say this, but God is not going to, how do I put it? God is not, he's not going to compete with the noise in your life. God is not going to compete with the noise in your life. The noise in your life is shutting off the faucet. It's shutting off the flow. When you allow noise in your life to be louder than the voice of God, and it's only you allowing it, regardless, you say, well, I maybe it's a job. Just use that as an example because that's the easiest, right? Maybe it's four jobs. Maybe you have to work four jobs, right, just to make a living. Well, that's what you think you need to do. But see, that's not the truth of the way it is. If you follow God, if you follow the word and do what the word says, you ain't got to work four jobs. Do you have overburdened just to make ends meet? And I'm not saying there are moments, there's times when we labor more and times when we labor less, but you're never going to have to continually, perpetually do something that is uncomfortable in the will of God. If you are, you're not in the will of God. There is a flow that is accessible to us. But see, people won't because they look at the opposition, they look at the thing that's being loud, say, I'm going to believe that over the word because the word isn't loud. You notice God didn't give us tape recordings. He could have given us tape recordings of this, but he didn't. He gave us the word. He gave us something that we have to separate ourselves, that we have to look to, that we have to shut ourselves down and focus on something else. Why do you suppose he did that? Because tape recorders didn't exist? Do you think God cares if tape recorders exist? You know, out in space right now, they just had the Voyager or whatever that's way out and just left our solar system. Does anyone know about that?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. If you don't, then just believe me, I'm telling the truth. But there's some kind of the satellite or whatever it is, the probe or thing, space fly thing. And they send it out there in space, and it's doing just what it was supposed to do. It's flying all over the space. And it's out there, just left our solar system. And I just heard that it picked up some noise out there that was not that was from outside of the universe or outside of the solar system. And apparently this is a real big thing, right? There's noises out there floating around. Folks, I think they figured it's like some kind of, said it, I'll just say it, some kind of space fart or something like that. You know, it's just something that, you know, it's just some noise out there floating around. And what? What's that? Yeah, you do. Want me to spell it? Praise God. Oh. I love my brother Scott, always there to try to get me into trouble. Praise the Lord. The space noise. That's what we were talking about. Just so God, why did I say this? All to say that God could have recorded it. He could have made a way, for it to get to us that way. But the reason he didn't, I believe, is to get us to focus on it. We have to get quiet before the Lord. The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. What is being still really? It's be at peace.
Yes.
It wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't do that.
Right.
God wouldn't tell us to be at peace if we couldn't be at peace.
Right.
Says as much as it's up to you, be in peace, live in peace with all men at all times, as much as it's up to you, there's a lot that's up to us.
Yeah.
I always say this about arguments. I got it from somebody else, but it's true. It's so true. If you don't argue, there's no argument.
Right. Yeah.
That's how you can quench an argument real quick. If you don't fight back, there's no fight.
Yeah.
If you don't argue, there's no argument. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
If you live in peace, then it's going to be hard to have a lack of peace. Amen? If you take yourself out of the situation, in other words. But see, we have to understand that we have to access that. We have to decide to access that. We're going to be talking about that more as the service goes on. Amen. Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified. We heard this on Sunday. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. This is one of the first ways that we allow that we do this, is that we allow the peace that comes from Christ, which is in His Word, to act as an umpire in our lives. When we're judging things, when we're making a decision, you know, right now there's this huge thing. You know, now our wonderful governor has decided to lift, for anybody who's vaccinated, they're going to lift the mask mandate. But you know that some people, a lot of stores and stuff like that, aren't complying. They're saying, no, we're going to require it anyways. And I went into Home Depot, and I noticed that there are people that still are going to follow it, and there's people that aren't, but they still have their big signs. In fact, I think they put more signs up since then. I don't understand the logic behind it. I mean, if the government is saying it, and they were all following the government before, I don't understand the logic in it. But where did I have a dilemma? The dilemma wasn't in any of that. It makes perfect sense in my head. I still wore a mask when I went into Home Depot. I took it off once I was in there because I saw somebody I was in there that I knew, and then I started talking to them, and they didn't have a mask on, so I was just and they just decided not to put it back on. But in my decision-making process, the reason I bring this up is for the decision-making process, I wasn't thinking about what I want to do. I mean, I was, which was not wear a mask, but that's the way I've been for quite some time. Amen? But in my decision-making process, I wasn't thinking about that. I was trying to be like, but Lord, would I be stepping outside of your will by not wearing one? And you say, well, how would you be doing that? Well, because if I'm causing other people to stumble and just making other people mad, then that isn't exactly walking in love, is it?
Right.
Even if it's ridiculous, even if it makes no sense, sometimes we have to comply for the sake being we have to be agreeable. Sometimes we have to comply to make people not hate you. Because how are you going to witness to somebody who hates you? Now listen, I'm not saying everybody's got to go out there if they and follow these things, but it's worthy of our thought. It's worthy of us going, you know what, it's not just about me and what I want and what I like. It's about what's right. What does the Spirit say? And so I'm still waiting to get there. I haven't got a clear direction. But, you know, there's a battle that goes on the inside of me that says, well, we got to stop this nonsense at some point. And so, and this is just the way I'm looking at it. Amen. And I could be completely wrong. So I'm not saying you got to believe everything I believe. But my point in saying this is that we do have to question, is what I'm doing right? Because this is the one thing I know. Why would I even think that way? It's like a stinking mask. Does it really matter? This is why it matters. Because if I don't walk in peace, I can't expect peace to rule in my life. Peace isn't going to emanate out of somebody who's not living in peace. Live in peace. The Bible tells us to do that. We make judgment calls. And this is exactly what this is talking. Let peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as umpire continually. Continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Should I do this? What's peace say? In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Peace reigned in Jesus' life, and so the Holy Spirit did just as well. Because peace reigned in Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit could reign in his life. Jesus never caught because he lived in peace. He never came to a place where he was like, I don't know what to do, because he lived in peace. He followed peace. The peace of God directed him. You know, even to the place of this, and I love this because, when we think, well, Jesus died, his ultimate end was death. But he laid down his life willingly because he submitted to the plan of God. When he laid down, he said, no man takes my life from me. Jesus said, no, you can't wait. See, this makes us, listen, Christians, if we hook up to this, we're going to realize something that we don't, that the world just doesn't have. And that's a true Christian cannot be victimized. Why? Because you've always got an answer. You've always got a way out. Victim, I'm a victor. I have Christ reigning on the inside of me. I've got God's peace, and therefore I can always get out of any situation or through any situation, or I'll know that I have to go through a situation, and if that's the case, I'm going to go through it with the power of God, with the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly why Jesus could go to the cross. In the moment, yes, it wasn't desirable. When you're going through trial, it's not desirable. When you're going through trial, you might not like it. You might not like the feel of it. Listen, that's what trial does. Amen. But trial shouldn't control us. Jesus was an Jesus wasn't emotionless. He just didn't let his emotions control him. And this is exactly what we have to know as Christians. If we're going to be effective at walking out this life, we have to do so, not without emotion, but without control from emotion. When you're angry, you know, the Bible tells us, be angry, but don't sin. Right. Well, how do you do that? Well, things can make you angry.
Oh, yeah.
But you sin when you just act out of anger. Yeah. When you act out of peace, though, see, peace is probably one of the most important things, because peace, the Holy Spirit always operates through peace.
Yeah.
He talks to us through peace. We get the direction of God through peace.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed the first thing that trial does is rob your peace? If you were walking around, everything was good. You know, I was sitting on my back porch. You know, we were sitting on my deck. My wife and I were sitting on our deck the other night. We're just looking out the back of the property. You're like, oh, it's just so nice, and it's so peaceful. This is a great, great place to be. We're at rest, you know. How many know life isn't always like that?
Right.
Amen. But when we're sitting there, everything's easy.
Oh, sure.
There's nothing that's difficult for us in that moment. It's when difficulty arises. But see, Jesus learned how to live from a place of, when difficulty arose, he lived in peace.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus was asleep. And now listen, this isn't something you do overnight. You have to work at peace. But that's exactly what trials give us opportunity to do. When you have trial, you have opportunity to act in peace.
Yeah.
Or you have opportunity to freak out.
Yeah.
Most people choose freak out. But we ain't going to choose freak out, right? We're going to operate in peace. We're going to assess the situation. We're going to see what we need to do, and then that's what we're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Peace is much more than a feeling. Peace is truth, God's truth. It's knowledge of God's truth. Revelation knowledge of God's truth. When you know that, like if I said to you, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million, and I wrote you a check for $1 million. You might not believe it right now. You might not feel instantly rich. But as soon as you put that into the bank and it cashed and it cleared, gives you seven days clear? How long did it take $1 million check? 3 days? $1 million check would clear in 3 days?
Wow.
Really?
No.
As an absolute fact. You know in 3 days. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Praise God. Let me ask you this. Can you withdraw $1 million check in 2 days? Oh, okay. Because I say we try it, Michael. We try it. If we do that, you might have to bail me out, but let's play with it. But 3 days, okay? So 3 days, a check. Some banks take a 7, though, don't they? But they shouldn't.
They're not supposed to.
Well, we got a banker in here. Praise the Lord. They're not supposed to, but they do. Just make extra sure. Especially if you have $1 million check. They say, come back in 7. They might tell you 8.
Well, right?
Yeah. Which, I mean, how many $1 million checks come through? But at any rate, praise the Lord. glory to God. Yeah. I've seen big checks, $1 million checks. But at any rate, give you $1 million check and you go to the bank and it clears. Now you got some faith. They say you can withdraw at any time. Only, you know, $9,999 at a time or something like that. I'm not even going to go there. But you understand what I mean. You have access to it now. You're going to feel like you're going to feel like you got something. It's sure to you.
Yeah.
But the Lord tells us what we have. He tells us what we have access to.
Right.
And yet we doubt it.
Yeah.
I said we doubt it. How do we doubt it? Because if you had $1 million in the bank and you knew it was yours, you knew you had access to it, you could call them 1 million times a day and they're going to tell you the same thing. Just come down and start withdrawing because it's your money. Right? Isn't that what they would say? And they would think, you would think somebody on the other end, like my mom, would think you're foolish if you kept calling back to the bank and saying, are you sure that I can come? Yes, come withdraw your money if you want some of your money.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with God. Yeah. How do we know that we truly trust the word? Yeah. It's when the situation arises, if all of a sudden you got $1 million in the bank and you get a bill for $10,000, that's a big bill, right? You get a bill for $10,000 in the mail. It's not going to move you because you got $1 million in the bank.
Right.
Well, the same thing is with God. If he says that it's yours and you look at it and you say, well, but I'm not sure. And then I start worrying and I'm going to try and figure, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
You're stepping outside of what the truth says.
Yeah.
God's word is truth. Revelation and knowledge, revelation knowledge of the truth is when it's so in you that you don't call to question anymore. You know how much is in the bank. You know what you can draw out of. Amen. And the peace of God is very much the same way. When you know that you have access, when you know that you have access to it, you don't need anybody to tell you. You don't need somebody to wait. Now, you might have to go to a place. You know, there are moments where, you know, when any opposition ever comes to me, I always have the same thought process that goes through my mind. At first, it's freak out.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We all do.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It's going to happen. Freak out is going to be there. It's going to be knocking on your door. In fact, freak out is the very first one at your door of trial.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's knocking the loudest. Boom, boom, boom. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. I'm freak out. I'm here. Because that's what freak out does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Freak out freaks out. And that's why it just goes hog wild freaking out. Amen? And like fools, what do? We open the door and say, hey, freak out. I recognize you. Come on in. I'm doing this too. And so you start having a freak out party with Mr. Freak Out. We got to stop doing that. We got to get into the place of peace. Freak out knocks. Wrong house. You go next door. Praise the Lord. I'm waiting for peace to show up. Glory to God. Freak out's going to keep trying, but you got to keep looking for peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that comes, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word as we put these things in us and don't resist them. You know, saying that renewing the mind is our greatest ally, because renewing our mind always puts us right. It always resets us. It always makes it. That's why, you know, I'm just dumb enough to believe that, you know, as I walk through this life, I'm just dumb enough to believe that if it didn't work next time, it'll work next time. Or last time, it'll work next time. And what I mean by that is that I know that there's disconnects sometimes in how I connect to what God's doing. But I know that it's never on his end. And because I know that saved my life.
Yeah.
Because I know that it's not God resisting me.
Yeah.
It saved my life. Yeah. Now, I know that this is a society where we don't like to, we don't often like to look at ourselves and say that we're the problem. But I'm just going to be honest with you, and I do this out of love. You're the problem. Every time. And I'm not just like looking. I know I looked at people. Praise the Lord. Josh is probably the problem. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Really. I just happened to look at Rachel when I said that. I always feel bad when I do. When I look and say, are you talking to me? Because I know how it is. You know, you feel it. But you are probably the problem. And it's not you are the problem, that your personality or who you are, you're a lousy person or anything like that. But it's in your connection with truth or what, and so that's when we have to go back to it.
Yeah.
Amen. But see, here's the thing. I should have to convince new believers of this.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to convince believers of this. New believers, but not old believers.
Yeah, right.
We shouldn't have to be convinced of the goodness of God.
Right.
And if we do, then the church is in a sad state. I'm going to be completely honest with you. The church is in a sad state.
Yeah.
Because people are looking to everything else for their answer,
right, yeah,
other than looking to the one that always gave it.
Right.
God was always the answer. He still is. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I know this drawing near to God is the most important thing. And how we do that is going to be different for each one of us. I mean, there's principles in the Word, but you have to build a relationship with God. You have to know that. A Christian who won't build a relationship with the Lord is not somebody that you're going to do a whole lot of help for.
Right.
You know, if they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Turn to Matthew 15. And if you didn't believe me up until now, let's get into this. I think you will now. Matthew 15, verse 10. It says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Oh, I love that. I don't know why that moves me so much. Hear and understand, Jesus said. He said, don't just sit there listening to me, but understand what I'm saying to you, because I'm telling you the truth. He's like, this is how it works. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Amen. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Oh, you know he knew. Offense is one of the biggest destroyers of the love of God, of the help of God, because offense keeps us from accessing those things. And often, as I found, it's often unfounded. In the sense of this, is that, you know, if you one thing I've learned dealing with people is that everybody perceives something differently. Everybody perceives something the way they perceive it.
Yeah.
And it's often not 100% accurate. In fact, I would say it rarely is. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Help me, Lord. Then his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted.
Wow.
Whew. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters a mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Wow. Whatever comes from within a man, of course, it's talking from the heart. If you want to know the heart of a person, put them in trial. Because you discover it real quickly. If you want to know the faith of a person, put them in trial. Because you discover it very quickly. In fact, one of the things our trials should do to us, if we look at our trials right, we would see them as such. The trial shouldn't bother us if we know the truth, which we should all know the truth. But the trial shows us how much of the truth is permeated into us. How much we're full of.
Yeah.
See, Jesus' truth was when the storm happened, he was so full, so saturated with God's peace. Do you think he got that just by spending 5 minutes before they went in the boat?
No.
With the guy, okay, God, we're gonna go out. You know how we're going to get to the other side? You know what I mean? He didn't do that. God, Jesus spent time with the Lord. He spent time knowing God, being saturated with the things of God, receiving what God had for him. And as he did so, he could pour out, it could come out of him.
Right.
See, a lot of us want that ability to sleep in the storm,
but
we're waiting for the storm to happen, and then we're letting freak out in, and then we're not doing the word.
Right.
We're not doing what God has taught us to do.
Right.
We resist the truth. Amen. When trial comes, everything within you will want to fold.
Yes.
But you have to resist the temptation to fold. Everything in you will want to do what you know you shouldn't. But you have to resist. You resist by being full of the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, when trial comes, I'm instantly, like I said, freak out comes, and that's the thing you want to focus on. But we have to remember just basic truths is all. That's why I said I want to put that storm scripture on my wall just to remind me constantly as I go out into my day that Jesus did things a certain way. He had peace, and I can have that peace too because that's what he provided for me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to resist the temptation. You know, the difference, and of course, as you practice resisting temptation, you get better at resisting temptation. You know, the reason that the world teaches our kids to give in to every want desire is because that's exactly how you get out of the plan of God. That's how you get away from the power of God. The devil is encouraging people. Whatever you want. Sometimes you have to tell your kids no.
Right.
You can't do everything you want to do. That's just the way that it is. Why? Because there's greater things at stake.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I am very thankful for is that we raised our kids with a desire for the local church.
Yeah.
Local church was number one. In fact, we had people that didn't like it. I had people that tried to tear us. When Mark was in, he was on the cross country running team, and I told him that was fine. But I said, when church is happening, you're going to be there. I said, even if it's it doesn't matter. And we told his coach that. His coach agreed to it. But then when it came time to actually put it to practice, there was a meet that was out of town. And we said, no, there was some special meetings with Pastor Webb. You all know Pastor Webb. And Pastor Webb was coming in, and we said, well, there's special meetings. We're going to be at those. And Mark didn't resist because he's been taught right. He wanted to be there, yeah, but he didn't resist. He wanted to be at the meetings. Yeah, that's what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he wanted to run, too, would be part of that. But his coach had a fit. So this is what we agreed to. But see, a lot of the world would fold. Why? Because you gotta experience this. You ain't gotta experience nothing but God.
Right.
We don't teach our kids to do better by telling them to experience more of the world and resisting God.
Right.
We do it by giving them God and showing them how to love God. Now, I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back because we were just taught this way and we happen to believe it. But because we didn't resist the truth, because we didn't resist the word worked in our lives. And I'm not saying that, you know, we have the perfect kids or anything. We have pretty good kids, amen? But I'm not saying we have the perfect kids or anything like that. But what I am saying is that when you put the right thing as the focus,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. It's always going to pan out. It's always going to help them.
Yeah.
That's where the peace is. We because and the thing is we didn't just say we're going to do this because this is the way we do it. We did. We taught them that this is the way. You know, we tell where's Ezra? Oh, she's back there serving. Praise the Lord. We tell Ezra all the time. We know that it gets busy sometimes, but this is why God blesses us, because we stay in His plan. God, it's always a blessing to follow the plan of God. It's always a blessing. And my kids don't resist church. It's never been in fact, there's been times I haven't wanted to go to church, and they do, so we go, amen? I mean, that's just the way that it is sometimes. Well, because they're taught, right? They got, you know, I didn't necessarily have all that, you know, in me, you know, all the years, there's many years that I lived completely opposite the church, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. But the peace of if we want the peace of God to reign, we have to understand, you know, this life, there's part of this life, it's great for living it. You can just enjoy things in life. That's wonderful. But God always has to be at the forefront of it. Amen? James 3:17, we're going to close here. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you want peace, you have to sow peace. If you want peace in a situation, you have to sow peace into the situation. You have to resist the urge. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Actually, I want to go back real quick. Just go back to verse 13. verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, you know, so self-seeking is just self-seeking. Seeking what benefits you. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but self-seeking can be a very bad thing. If that's the heart of what you're doing, amen? If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Wow. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is why when you see like the, you know, these things in the world happen, when you see people get so saturated with these things, this is why you see even people don't know what to do. They just like they don't even know what end is up. I've heard people tell stories that are completely opposite of what actually happened. I've witnessed them, but they tell it completely opposite of what has happened because they've been so full of bitter envy and self-seeking that they get confused. They are convinced that it's truth. Yeah. This is why I'm just going to tell you, husbands and wives, I'm going to help you right here. What's bitter envy and self-seeking? Well, envy, I don't think we have to go into much of what it is, but I want to focus on self-seeking. Self-seeking is seeking what's for self. Yeah. This is better for me. This is what I want. And so this is what I'm going to seek. There's no place for that in marriage. No, right. I said there's no place for that in marriage. Because what that does is it opens the door for every evil thing. It's demonic. It opens the door to demons. When you insist on having your own. One of the things that we always talk about when we marry people is we talk about how each person has to completely submit to the other. And when they do that, neither one goes without. But when they stop doing that, they open the door to the devil and it comes in. This is why my wife and I try to stomp out any arguments or disagreements quickly. Because you understand this, if you have a disagreement, you can't be in disagreement if you just refuse to disagree. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, you even may be right, but you can't, if you just refuse to disagree. Yeah, I'm not saying accept things that are evil and wrong. You understand what I mean. But when we're dealing with things, when we're dealing with each other, we're talking about little spats here, little things between a husband and wife. It's real easy to have your ideas of what should happen, right? But if you just refuse to disagree, oh, this is hard stuff, right? This is. But you want the peace of God reigning and ruling in your life. The peace is the open door for the Holy Spirit to come in and show you all the things that you have to do, to show me the money. Glory to God. Well, yeah, it might be bad. I don't know. But praise God. Hallelujah. I'm having fun anyway, so. Praise the Lord. So don't show me the money. Keep the money from me. I don't know what you're saying. Woo. But at any rate, it's good. It's good. Praise God. Oh. Thank you again, Scott. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You want peace, you got to sow peace. I want to read that one last scripture, verse 18 again. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Remember, when you're sowing something, you're sowing it to produce more. If you want peace, you got to sow peace. And so that's what you're looking for. Peace at all costs. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And when you do, when you start living that way, then the peace of God starts walking with you and it starts going with you everywhere. Amen. Amen.